Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Wall Street Journal headline, U.S.-Europe split on response to Iran's near-weapons-grade nuclear enrichment. Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness joins me, and we welcome Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, with his friend Indiana Hoenlein. Malcolm is back from the region to help us understand this split between the Europeans and the Americans, except this time the Americans are for continuing conversation with Iran, and the Europeans are against. Thaddeus?
Malcolm, why does it appear that the U.S. is rewarding its enemies and punishing its allies in relation to Iran?
That is a million-dollar question, and one that is very disturbing and being assessed by our European allies, so-called, who for a long time, as you know, were the ones pushing for adoption of the plan, renewal of the JCPOA. But now Britain, France, and Germany wanted to formally censure Iran for the production of near weapons grade uranium, meaning the reports of the IEA that we will discuss in a minute, of that they had reached 83.7% purity, 90% is weapons grade, but this is just within striking distance. And the meeting of the IEA board this week, this coming week, was to see the introduction of this sanction, and the administration, it seems, is backing off of it, reluctant to do it. We don't know why. The Europeans are saying the production of weapons-grade material could trigger the end of the 2015 nuclear deal, the JCPOA, which they had backed. Now, we know that there have been various reports saying that, in fact, an agreement had been reached. These reports all come from Iranian officials who say that on the visit of Mr. Grossi, they were able to reach an accord. That is not true. It does not appear that that is the case. They were saying that the particles that they found enriched to a high degree is just an offshoot of them enriching to 40%. That is not also, by experts' testimony, not true. What Grossi said was also disturbing, but somebody who has been a very hard line said that a strike against the nuclear facilities would be illegal, which does not seem to be the case under international law when they're threatening the destruction of other countries. And we know that Iran becomes more aggressive when their domestic situation collapses. Their currency, which we have been tracking since it was about 10% of what it is today, is 601,500 to the dollar, which is 100,000 more than when we talked last month. So the economic conditions in Iran are collapsing. The political situation is bad. The demonstrations do continue, but they get no coverage. There's a hunger strike by members, by people who are in prisons, and we've seen these emaciated Iranian prisoners, doctors, filmmakers who have been arrested simply because they stood by the women in the protests and demanding human rights. We know that the Iranians made these changes to the conditions at Fordo, which John will remember we've been following for so many years, but they linked the IR6 cascades, which enabled them to enrich to 60%, and now we know to beyond 80%. And they denied it at first, didn't report it as they are obligated to do. Then Grossi expressed concern that they had made these changes and it's not consistent with their obligations under the agreement. So they, and he had said that they had amassed enough nuclear material for several nuclear weapons, not one at this point, not one weapon. Even Colin Powell, who was an early advocate of JCPOA, an American official, said that at the time when we started, it was it would take 12 years, we thought. Now it's 12 days. So the situation has really progressed so far that under the guise of not violating the laws, they have instituted so many changes that bring them closer to a nuclear weapon. We know that they that the British seized weapons in the Gulf of Oman that were headed for the Houthis again a second time. We know that they have tried to use drone strikes against Israeli vessels in the Gulf, as well as against others. The more and more aggressive position because they believe they can get away with it. And with this, we see these terrible stories of the poisoning of girls, young girls in schools across Iran. Hundreds of them have been poisoned and hospitalized. They have not been able to solve it. There's people saying that because the women have become too aggressive, that this was being used against them and to scare the girls. But the combination of what we're seeing with the IEA, with the domestic situation, is clearly pointing to the fact that you need greater resolve, not lesser resolve, on the part of the U.S. And our allies and working together. We need to start saying that the enrichment and the more centrifuges has to be stopped. We have to start saying that we need to take steps to dismantle all of that infrastructure that they have been building up, because we're going to be facing a situation that has crossed the threshold of no return. And then we will be really beginning to see what this means. Iran's also aggression is seen in the warships that they've sent around the South America, now calling in Rio and likely to go on to the Panama Canal, maybe stopping in Venezuela. All of these aggressive actions at a time when the economy is in a collapse, when the people have such great needs, and yet they are continuing to expand on many fronts, including in Syria, including in Lebanon and elsewhere. I think that there has to be a complete reassessment and holding to account of those who are making policy on Iran about how this is being allowed to happen.
Malcolm, does the State Department or the ministry, any of the ministries of foreign affairs and our allies, do they connect the Iranian export of drone technology to Russia to kill Ukrainians? Do they connect that to the Iran deal? Do they say we're not going to negotiate with a adversary in Ukraine?
Connection, yes. The conditionality, no. And I think that there's also reports that the Russians have, as part of their new relationship with Iran, agreed to return the enriched uranium, which they are supposed to hold as a safeguard against Iran reaching going beyond the limits that they're supposed to. And in the original JCPOA agreement, Russia was the to safeguard and to warehouse the enriched uranium. Now they're saying that the Russians have agreed to return it to Iran, which means that they will be able to enrich, send it to Russia, and just have it returned under another subterfuge that they're engaged in. So I don't see we see the relationship, we see the conditionalities that are being imposed, and the impact of the war in Ukraine and the relationship Russia, Iran, and China as a major shift in the region.
So the Iran deal was counting on the Russians as some sort of arbiter on the Iran deal, but the Russians are now actively trying to destroy NATO. So let's go to another part of the region where there is a question mark. Hezbollah, you tell me that they're recruiting northern cells along the northern border. To what end? What are they up to?
So the Russians, the first about the Hezbollah is creating cells, recruiting Sunnis and people living along the border region to create new cells to attack Israel. You know, they didn't have much success from their own, and they don't want to risk the lives of Hezbollah members. So they are creating these new cells as a means to change the equation on the region. And because they are people who live there, they can more easily be hidden in the region. And this is obviously a great concern to Israel. It's a great concern to the to Lebanon and to Jordan, because they go all the way down to the triangle where the Israel, Syria, and Jordan borders come together.
The question of the Ukraine war comes up again, Malcolm, with the report that the Wagner Group is recruiting in the region. Are they recruiting the PA? Are they recruiting Hezbollah? Are they recruiting in Syria? What do we know?
So we know that the Wagner Group has recruited Palestinian fighters from the Russian-controlled, from an air base near Latakia, which we have discussed as it has developed over the years, and fighters from the regular Syrian military units, which are supervised by Russia, such as the 25th Special Operations Division, are being paid $500 to $700 a month to enter the war zone. Hezbollah is also aggressively recruiting people to aid Russia in the war in the Ukraine, especially those who are able to operate drones and have knowledge in guerrilla warfare. Beyond that, Russia has been recruiting Palestinians in Lebanon to join the conflict in the Ukraine. And we know that people involved in the Palestinian embassy in Beirut are leading the recruitment drive. Most of the recruits are coming from Ain Hawa, which is near Sidon and affiliated with Fatah, led by PA President Mahmoud Abbas. They are some 300 individuals supposedly have already completed rapid training in Russia and are being deployed to the Ukraine.
A detail, Malcolm, why this fresh wave of violence on the West Bank by the PA? What's driving it?
So first of all, it's the inability and unwillingness of the PA to crack down. We see that they're actually taking steps recently in Tulkarm because they saw what happened in Jenin. They saw what happened in the other cities where they completely withdrew, like Nablus. And we saw groups like the Lion's Den, which we have discussed in the past, being able to assert themselves, becoming armed groups, hundreds of members. And then Israeli forces go in because they carry out terrorist attacks and Israel goes to respond. 80% of Palestinians consider the PA corrupt and 60% see it as a liability rather than an asset. None of the agencies considered have popular support or seen to have legitimacy, and that includes the armed forces and security forces of the Palestinian Authority. After the meeting in Aqaba, there has been a resumption of some security coordination between the PA and Israel, but the increase in terrorist activities, the increase in weapons flow, and then giving expression to it in the drive-by shootings, the attacks that have taken the lives of 14 Israelis just in the last few weeks. And, of course, Israel responds then, catching many of the groups in the midst of the planning terrorist activities and eliminating the terrorists, which then gets the condemnation of the world.
Thaddeus?
Malcolm, we need some good news. And there is good news regarding Israel's relations with Sudan and Hungary. What can you tell us?
So there's two good news items amongst several that are occurring because we're seeing the relationship between Israel and many of the Arab countries being enhanced despite the developments in the region. First, Sudan is moving ahead with normalizing relations with Israel despite criticism from the PA and Palestinian and other groups like Islamic Jihad and Hamas, which called it disgraceful. But they have made the decision to move ahead. And also Hungary has decided to move its embassy, the first European country, to Jerusalem. And hopefully this will be followed by others, but it's an important declaration at this time.
Malcolm, we need to also touch up on the story of Iran. Just a detail here. Those warships in South America, I'm told by a colleague of ours, Joseph Umar, that the U.S. State Department is not protesting, is not challenging, is not even inquiring as to what the mission of the warships is or was or could be. They spent a week at Rio de Janeiro. Is this another one of those matters about the Iran deal? Is this some connection to the nuclear weapon that I don't see right away?
That's a good question. I don't know. But Joseph has really been ahead of this for a long time, warning us. And yet we don't see the kind of response by the international community, understanding what the implications of Iran's ability to project its power coming to right off our coast. We know that they have their land-based operations in Venezuela, Bolivia, other countries, increasing their relationships now, Brazil, et cetera. The It certainly will have implications, but it puts Iran in the cat's bird seat in the ability to threaten further the United States. They're also talking about selling surface to air missiles to Syria. I mean, so many provocative actions without the kind of response that would be fundamental to the security of the United States and our interests in every region, including along our borders.
Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, just back from the Middle East. Thaddeus McCarter of American Greatness. The Dusty One next, Indiana Hohnlein. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Beck.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.